Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of the East Anglian Theatre Podcast. Welcome, one and all. If you're a first-time listener, then where the ruddy hell have you been all this time? I'm still your host, Ray Tempesta. My name hasn't changed since last time, and I am the underwhelming and ill-informed East Anglian theatre guru that literally no one was crying out for. While I did begin this podcast with a proper format in mind, the way it's sort of panned out is that it's very much in three sections. Section 1 is what I've been up to recently, section 2 is the interview, and section 3 is all about the plug. More than likely, this will be for shows coming up in the near future, but I'm also happy to mention any upcoming auditions that I get wind of. And because no one wants to hear me talk uninterrupted for long periods of time, I've made the middle section of the show the interview where you get to hear from someone much more interesting than me, which frankly isn't hard. That's coming up, of course, but first, here comes the admin bit.
The socials!
Oh, you're back again, are you? You prick. The East Anglian Theatre Podcast has a Facebook and Twitter account. I'd urge you to follow them and like and share where appropriate. They're not particularly exciting, but you might find them useful for finding out about shows or audition opportunities. And just for shits and giggles, I might post the odd picture giving you an insight into my dull suburban existence. Secondly, do let me know if you want a shout out for any upcoming shows, or even if you'd like to be featured on the podcast. It's always great to have willing guests rather than having to twist people's arms. So, now that's taken care of, what have I been up to theatre-wise recently? Well, I safely navigated my way through the final performances of The Girl on the Train. As I mentioned in the podcast last time, I had tickets to see Art by Yasmina Reza at the Madder Market in Norwich. Well, I went along to watch it on opening night and I absolutely loved it. First of all, the Emerson Studio where it was hosted was absolutely the perfect setting for this type of show. There was only three actors, minimal set, and an audience capacity of probably no more than 50, so it really was an intimate setting. This allowed us as the audience to feel part of the conversation between the three bickering friends, particularly when the characters occasionally broke the fourth wall, of course. And uninhibited by the issue of having to project over a much larger space, the three actors instead treated us to something of a masterclass in naturalistic acting. All three performances were extremely accomplished, and they had to be in order to sustain a show that wasn't visually engaging in any way, which I'd imagine was a conscious choice, given that the focal point of the show was a white painting on a white canvas. Julie Benfield, as Marcy, was the character that I most identified with, apparently aghast that her friend Sasha had spent £200,000 on something that she deemed to be, well, shit. And she has trouble coming to terms with the fact that Sasha appears to genuinely love the painting. Now, I could spend ages waxing lyrical about the excellent performances of each of the actors, but I won't, as I'm sure they've already been inundated with praise, and rightly so. However, when it came to Julie's performance, what I particularly enjoyed was her mastery of the knowing glance at the audience. Christine Lloyd appeared as the perhaps slightly aspirational art collector, Sasha. It was really the second half where her character got a bit more interesting and feisty, and so it's to Christine's credit that she kept the audience engaged in what was certainly a gentle start, shall we say. And finally, John Davis as Ivan was really just there as a foil to the other two characters, whereas Sasha and Marcy's humorous lines were of a more sort of cynical, sardonic sort of nature. Ivan was there almost as a punch bag to play for some of the more obvious laughs. And while, as I mentioned, that the show wasn't particularly visually engaging, John brought a more physical presence to proceedings simply with the way that he moved around the space, and so added a different dynamic. A special mention must also go to John for his faultless delivery of the mammoth monologue that Ivan launches into at the beginning of Act 2. However, all three actors looked like they were in their absolute element with this show, and they and the director should be extremely proud. And I hope this is the first of many shows of this type at the Madder Market, because it really was a joy to watch. But now, for the main feature. And I'd like to introduce you all to someone who's been a mainstay of theatre in Norfolk for quite some time, having worked on and performed in quite a collection of shows. His name is Joseph Betts, or Joe to his friends, so he insists I call him Joseph. And he's due to appear in Shrek the Musical as the iconic ogre, no less, in Cromer and Sheringham Operatic and Dramatic Society's production, which is opening in a matter of days at the fantastic Cromer Pier Theatre. He's here with me now, so without further ado, which is a shame because I do so enjoy and do, here is an interview with Joseph Betts.
Hi, Ray.
Hi, Joseph. Thanks for joining me. Small talk, small talk, small talk. That's the small talk out of the way.
Oh, brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah.
Yeah. Best one so far. Yep.
Now, you've managed to squeeze me in time to talk to me just before you dash off for another rehearsal, no doubt, for Shrek, which I'm really grateful. What has the process been like?
It has been very interesting. That sounds like an interesting thing to say. I think the thing is with Shrek is, you know, it is very well known. Everybody knows Shrek. But it's not like, obviously, it's not like Shakespeare. But with Shakespeare, there's a lot of room to maneuver it. You know, there's a lot of different styles you could do with Shakespeare. When it comes to Shrek, you've got to get that right. So you want to make sure that you've got the right tone with the voices, the right chemistry with the main cast. So it's quite weird to try and bring something to life and try to make it your own when it's so well known.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a more modern story, so audiences are much more familiar. It's much more fresh in their minds.
Yeah.
Speaking of iconic, how have you found it stepping into such an iconic role?
Quite a challenge, but one that I was quite excited about. When I went for the auditions, I auditioned for Donkey and for Shrek. And anyone who knows me would probably say that, you know, Donkey would basically just be me in a furry suit. There's not much acting required. I'm quite loud and I talk quite a lot. So not too much of a challenge. But with Shrek, I was thinking, you know what? That's actually going to be something I'm going to work a lot harder for. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just, you know, the Scottish accent. You've kind of got to get in the grumpiness, but lovable grumpy. It's not a walk in the park sing, I'll put it that way. Shrek doesn't sing every single moment, but all of a sudden up comes one of his songs. And when we're in rehearsals, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot he's got to do that. And in a Scottish accent. So it's been a nice journey, but what's made it so much easier is just the fact that everyone who's a part of this production have just been so lovely to work with. Mm-hmm. It's really a fantastic group. And then the people, especially Fiona being played by Emmy Wright, Donkey being played by Dan Smith. I've known Emmy for a few years and I've known Dan for about 10 years now. So we're all really good friends. That's just made the whole thing that much easier because we haven't got to act it with friends. You know, we all love each other. So that's been great.
It does make such a huge difference having a great group of people around you. In terms of what the audience experience is, it's obviously going to be a feast for the eyes in general, I'd imagine. But is there anything you think in particular the audiences should look out for?
Oh, to look out for. That's an interesting one because it's all pretty much in your face. Mm. But I think one thing that people will enjoy will be the rats. We've got these tap dancing rats, but just before there are tap dancing rats, there might be a smaller version of the rat, which makes its way across the stage. I think people look out for that at the beginning of Act Two, which let's just say the prop we have for that generally made someone scream, which was lovely. And yes, just and keep an eye out really for the excellent work of the makeup artists that we've got on this show, because with Donkey's Dan's fantastic with makeup and he's done a really good job at his own donkeyish face. And for Shrek, we've got these this wonderful woman. She's got her own company on Facebook called Bex Does Shrek. She's provided all the prosthetics and everything. And we've got a great friend of mine, Kate Rose, who's doing all the makeup and that on me. And I actually think just the fact that we've managed to get such great materials and it's just a really good look for the show. Sometimes you might have a look at Shrek around and you don't get the best looking Shreks and donkeys sometimes because some people, you know, want to do it themselves. But sometimes it's a bit of a mess. But we've got a really good person who's providing all our prosthetics. So I think that will be quite a thing to enjoy, especially just trying to figure out which bit is actually me, because I think most of me is fake.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the promo shots for Shrek, and it all looks very, very good, which is a good start.
It is a good start. I've always had a weird fascination with makeup and prosthetics. Like, I've always wanted to try it. Watching movies like Mrs. Doubtfire and Lord of the Rings, and you see the amazing work and you just completely lose the performer in it. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to going through a similar process.
Okay, and my last question about your current show, and this is really, really important. Of the famous green characters, who would win in a fight between Shrek, the Hulk, the Jolly Green Giant, or Princess Fiona?
Well, Jolly Green Giant, he's out of it. He straight away, he's down at the bottom of the pile. He ain't got a chance, Jolly Green Giant. He's just having a great time. He'd be squished.
Well, his diet of sweet corn probably, you know.
Exactly. You know, he can't help. I think most people would say Hulk, because, you know, he's incredibly strong. But however, Hulk, he does calm down now and then. And the thing is, if you calm him down enough, then he's Bruce Banner and he's nothing to worry about. So it does come down to Shrek and Fiona. Absolutely. And that's I don't know if I'm brave enough to make that call about Shrek and Fiona, because, you know, he's fended for himself a long time, but she knows martial arts. So it's probably Shrek, but I don't know.
Yeah, apologies for the hard hitting line of questioning there. You know,
but I will say, absolutely, if it was a fight between me as Shrek or Emmy as Fiona, Emmy would win that fight. Absolutely,
yeah, I'd definitely back her, I'm afraid. Of course, in your current show, it's not the first time that you've completely changed colour for a role. But of the characters that you've portrayed down the years, is there a favourite amongst them?
Oh, that's very difficult. That's like asking me what my favourite finger is.
Do you have an answer to that?
I don't know. Thumbs are important, but... well, when we... Just before COVID kicked off, we had just started a read-through for One Man, Two Governors for Sound Ideas, Sound Ideas Theatre Production. And then COVID hit and it got postponed, and it got cancelled. But then all of a sudden, you know, it came back. And that was really, really special, because it was the first big show back for everybody. And it really was a big show. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to rest, which I quite like. It was just bam, 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 full on. So that's the part of Francis Henschel is quite high up there. But also one of the ones I have to say is the part of Freddie Benson from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. That's one of my all-time favorite movies. It's such a great musical, because I think it's a perfect example of how you adapt a well-known film into a musical. Mm-hmm. It keeps basically all the bits that you remember and the best jokes and adds just enough to make it its own stuff. So whenever there's a new musical based on a film, I will always compare it to Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, because I think that's the best one. And I did that with Cromer and Sheringham Operatic and Dramatic Society, or CSODS. They were so welcoming. I've never done a show with them before, everything had been sort of more Norwich based, but I had to do that part. That was like my bucket list part. And because of that, and because there was such a lovely group to work with, and then Shrek came along. Shrek was never one I was thought I'd ever do. I loved the movie and it's a really good show, but I never thought I'd have a chance to do it. But it was more the fact I'd get to work with that company again. It's like, you know what? They're a fantastic group of people. The director, Andrea, worked with her in the last show. Love her to bits. And they're all just really supportive. And it's, that's a big thing. I mean, yes, go and do the show. But if you know the people who are part of it are great, again, that's another battle won. And of course, Sweeney Todd. I did get to play Sweeney Todd and I covered people in blood. Nice and easy. But that's fun.
Good answer. And moving on to how you got involved in theatre in the first place, you strike me as a very natural, sort of confident and charismatic performer. But has it always been that way? I mean, is it the case that performing was in your blood, or was there a moment that you can recall lit a spark in you?
That's a very good question. I come from quite a loud family. There's a lot of us. So I've never been nervous about, you know, speaking publicly or anything like that. But I just remember I just always enjoyed I enjoyed making people laugh. You know, when I was like 5 years old and I walked into the kitchen and I had pants on my head. And that made people laugh. I was like, oh, that got people laugh. I quite liked that. So I really enjoy just making people have a giggle. And I think the toughest thing for me in terms of performing was more of the singing. Because when I left school, I was lucky enough to get involved with Madam Market Theatre quite early on. And I did maybe 3 years back to back just doing plays with them. Because they work so quickly, they, you know, all through the week for a few weeks, and then here's a play. But I hadn't done any public singing for a while. I was in a band in high school, but then that fizzled out, and I kind of lost my confidence. And then, funny enough, it was Sweeney Todd, Norfolk and Norwich Operatic Society, or NNOS. They then put on Sweeney Todd. I auditioned for it. I didn't get the part, but they gave me the audition. They gave me the understudy role of Sweeney Todd. But that was the first time I'd sort of gone back and done a musical to that scale. And that was kind of a brand new spark there when I just remembered how much I loved musicals, because they're just so much fun. I just get no better high than being on stage, singing a song, which can, you know, in one line it will make someone laugh, and the next line it'll make someone cry. There's just so many more emotions you can pack into a musical. I do love plays, obviously, in all forms of theatre, but that was a whole new spark when I was reintroduced to it via Sweeney Todd.
So do you remember the first show that you attended?
Ooh, wow. As a youngster, I was more into sort of TV and film, but one thing that I really remember making quite a big impact with my school, and I remember going to London to watch a production of The Tempest with Patrick Stewart as Prospero. I don't think I really appreciated what I was watching. When I look back on it now, I was like, that was an incredible show. I'm annoyed that I went with a load of teenagers who were laughing at the wrong bits, because I wish I could go back and just watch that and like just completely be Patrick Stewart as Prospero. I don't need to say anything else. And you know, that was probably a very, very good show. And I'd not seen anything on stage sort of fantasy-ish done so well as that. And then a few years later, I saw another production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, but it was all done with a full Indian cast. And what was really interesting about that is that they went in and out of Shakespearean English and different Indian dialects. And even though they might not be speaking the language, you still knew what they were saying, because the story was so great to follow. And again, it was so bright and vivid, and it's stuff like that. And I then realized I love my movies, but actually there is so much more you can do on stage. I think people get a little bit bogged down over how am I going to do this, but you can do it with the right crew and the right people behind you. That's where the real magic is, when you're watching it in front of you.
What about the first show you were involved in? And I mean, sort of proper show in your mind.
I can remember one of the first shows I did after leaving school. It was Toad of Toad Hall,
okay,
which was at Madam Market. And I was one of the ferrets, but I was also the policeman known as Fat Face, because Toad insulted him. That was hilarious because, again, it's a big fantasy kind of thing. Everyone's dressed up in these ridiculous costumes. But one of the things I remember most about that is somebody was setting up the gun to be used, and accidentally the gun went off backstage, causing a fire alarm to go off. And the entire theatre was evacuated. And this is in December, and it was a very snowy December. But actually, that weirdly added to the whole thing, because here's all the people who've come to see the show. And now here's all the cast dressed as ferrets and rabbits and badgers and rats, all in the snow. And we just started having a snowball fight. And it was great. And it was just like, we're not in that building, but the show's still going on. People were just still so involved. And then when we all sat back down, Toad says, because Toad's really upset because he's losing his house, he goes, oh, no, it's the end. It's the end. And then David Newham, who was playing Badger, just looked at the audience and just went, not quite the end, to which the whole place went mad. It's like, yes, we're still going. And that was an amazing lesson of just how much people will just stick with you. If something goes wrong, just embrace it.
You've obviously already crossed off quite a lot of iconic characters on your bucket list, shall we say, of role playing. But let's imagine an apocalyptic scenario here.
Wow.
If the apocalypse is on its way, there's only enough time to produce one more show. I mean, if the apocalypse is on its way, I'm not quite sure why you'd produce a show. But,
why not? Might as well.
Why not?
Got nothing else to do. Yeah.
Let's imagine that scenario. You can choose just one more role or one more show to be involved in. Which would it be?
Oh, that's so hard. Because part of me is like, I'd want to go back and do one I've done before because of just how much I love doing it, which is a particular special one was called Urine Town, which is a show that is basically, imagine Les Mis, but the reason we're revolting is because we're fed up of having to pay to use the toilet. That was hilarious, but it was lightning in a bottle and we probably couldn't recapture it. If I had to choose one, and this is your chance now, you've the only one you get to do, might be Young Frankenstein. I think it's another great example of adapting a film into a show. And I've seen it twice, actually. I saw it twice in London. And each time I was in floods of tears of laughter. I just couldn't stop laughing. The perfect mixture of the right jokes from the show, from the film, sorry, and these new songs. Obscene, but hilarious. I feel there may be a far more profound choice for me, but that's the first one that comes into my head. We can only do one. Young Frankenstein's up there on the bucket list. If the apocalypse does rock up, I'll let you know if I change my mind.
You've already alluded to it. You've never been one to sit still for too long. So I'm anticipating that you're not going to be resting for long post Shrek. Do you have any particular plans on what's next for you?
Not yet. This is a bit where I might be taking a bit of a break, because when we were able to go back and do shows, I haven't stopped since then. So we did One Man, Two Governors, which was great. And then I had a few days off and I started rehearsing for a play for the Hostry Festival called Beethoven's Tenth, which was a completely different kind of play for me, but really enjoyed doing that. As soon as that had finished, I was then straight into a big Christmas production, The Wonder, where I was completely blue as a genie. And then after that, straight into Shrek. So I haven't really stopped. I may be helping write a bit more this year, which I'm quite excited about. So after Shrek, I may be, well, fingers crossed, I'll be writing this or co-writing this Christmas show coming up, it'll be a brand new challenge, but I'm really excited about it because it's something I can sit down and really focus on. But show-wise, I'm just going to sit and see what happens for now. And I know there's some good ones coming up, but I think for my own sanity, I think I need to go and see some shows for once.
So there we have it. That was Joseph Betts. In case you're wondering why we didn't record an outro for that, well, we tried, but in Joseph's own words...
There's lots of burps and lots of farts. They're all me.
Well, all I can say is thank you for your candour, Joseph. Entirely unnecessary, of course, but we appreciate it nonetheless.
No! I'm not meant to do any of that!
Well, I hope overall you were pleased with how the interview turned out.
I was so annoyed.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, Joseph. That's just too bad. Now, if it seems like I've taken some clips of Joseph and repurposed them for comedy effect, then you should be ashamed. I'll have you know I consider myself a high-quality journalist whose honesty and integrity underpins everything I do. Anyway, you can watch the overbearingly flatulent Joseph Betts in action as Shrek the Musical hits the Cromer Pier Theatre from the 28th of May to the 4th of June. Tickets can be purchased at cromerpier.co.uk, but do be quick, as I'm sure it will sell out. Now, what else is coming up in the region in the next week or two? Well, first of all, the Ipswich Gilbert and Sullivan Society are looking for male performers to join their ensemble cast, particularly tenors and basses. This is for their October production of The Mikado, and rehearsals are due to start from June the 13th. Stage Direct are performing the West End hit comedy 1 o'clock from the house at Sheringham Little Theatre for three nights only between the 16th and 18th of June. And in case Cromer is a little too far for you to travel, Peterborough Operatic and Dramatic Society are also performing Shrek the Musical. Their production is on from the 24th to the 28th of May at the Crescent Theatre. And the festival players in Cambridge are donning their kinky boots for their production of the hit musical, which is on from the 2nd to the 11th of June at the ADC Theatre. As always, I'll post links to the shows mentioned on the East Anglian Theatre Podcast Facebook and Twitter pages. And as I mentioned earlier, if anyone would like to get in touch with me to let me know about any upcoming shows that they'd like to promote or even speak about on future episodes, please do get in touch. And that, everyone, wraps things up on the fourth episode of the East Anglian Theatre Podcast. Thanks so much for listening to me and Joseph ramble on. And tune in next time to hear another interview with someone equally wonderful and no doubt a review of something that I've seen. In the meantime, take care of yourselves and go watch some theatre. Bye.